Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And yesterday, our word was being fisher, throw it the net out. We had to throw the net out. Today, Jesus said, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Man, your sins are forgiven. And I say to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, your sins are forgiven when you have faith. We got to have faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he told them, he told him his sins were forgiven. God wants us to be faithful. Faithful in our walk, in our belief. Faithful knowing, oh, hallelujah, that God answers prayers. And I'm thanking God, thanking him right now for another answered prayer. I'm believing God for another answered prayer. Yesterday in prayer service, we were going over some prayer requests, and one of mine was answered. Wow. It was answered. And answered in a big way. And all I could say is, thank you, God. Did some shouting. Because God answers prayers. As long as we don't pray amiss, God answers prayers. God wants the best for us. Faith, that substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've got to have faith and watch Jesus work in your life. Watch him work in your ministries. Watch him work. We got to have mustard seed faith. Love the Lord faith. Trust in God faith. I'm going to make it faith. Love us faith. I am so grateful to God for his love. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. Father God, again, we come to you this morning with hearts and minds open, Lord God, to receive more of you. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my God. I am your humble servant. Use me, Lord, that I may get your word to who needs to hear it this morning. Lord God, let them tune in for a word from you. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift up
my nation. I lift up the nations of those that listen in and ask you, Father God, to guide them, lead them, and that we all will get better. Lord God, allow minds to be open for this vaccination that you sent, that it didn't come from the devil. It came from you to receive the gift that you have given us for healing and for unity. Help us, oh God. I pray this prayer. Continue allowing what's being done in the dark come into the light. In Jesus' name, amen. All kind of stuff. God is in charge. God is in charge. Loves us. God wants the best for us. And all we have to do is what? Believe. Believe, 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 believe. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful this morning, and we're going to get into the word, because it's time, what? To go to work. Hallelujah. It's time to go to work, family. And who do we work for? We work for God. So the word of God this morning is coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 23 through chapter 24, verse 22. We are also coming out of Psalms chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, Proverbs chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and the lesson for this morning out of Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 39. And all I can say is it's a good word. You know, it's weird for me because I do these blogs every day but Saturday. So I have a whole lot of them. And I have to be careful that I don't come back with the same titles because I have the same mind. It's the same me. So I have to pray and say, okay, God, give me a different word today than what I had the last time we read this book or read this chapter. And I knew that the last time that I had Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 39, I had something about wineskin, which is in the word. And today God gave me something different, which I was quite happy with. So saw their faith. He said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. I love that word because it sounds like something that could be said today. Man, your sins are forgiven you. You know, you got some faith. I can hear Jesus speaking that today. And I am so grateful that our faith helps us to walk. Hallelujah. Walk in the spiritual, walk in the physical, walk in the mental. Whatever your situation, the Lord God has given you everything you need. Just walk in it. Go to work. Let's get in the word this morning, family. You should be now in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 1 through chapter 24, verse 22. And thanking God, the voice is starting to clear up. Hallelujah. Because we was about to start out kind of shaky there this morning. And the word of God says, he who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. I'm going to read that again. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. One of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the tenth generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. And I can tell you now, there will be a whole lot of folks not making it into the assembly of the Lord, if nothing else, because of illegitimacy. We have got to be grateful for Jesus. We have to be grateful for Jesus because he opened doors but so many more to make it in. Say in verse 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet with you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Bethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all your days forever. And then it goes on to tell us, you shall not abhor an Edomite, but he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. The children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourselves from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall not come inside the camp, but it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuge. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. In other words, you better have an outhouse type situation. God don't want to be walking in your mess. Come on now, as we continue. And it says, you shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel or perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or a price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be a sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be a sin to you. That which has gone from your lips you shall keep and perform for your voluntary vow to the Lord your God, what you have promised with your mouth. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. Chapter 24, and we'll do chapter 24 and 23 life lessons after we finish chapter 24. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanliness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce in her hand and sends her out of his house, when she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. Or if the latter husband dies, who took her as his wife, then her former husband, who divorced her, must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. But that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. No man shall take the lower or the upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. If a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel and mistreats him or sells him, then that kidnapper shall die, and you shall put away the evil from among you. Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you. Just as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. Remember, Miriam got leprosy because she couldn't keep her tongue behind the teeth. I'm just going to call it like it was. And the Lord healed her 7 days. She had to stay out of, away from the camp. And let's keep it moving. It says, when you lend your brother anything, you shall not go into his house to get his pledge. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. And if the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall, in any case, return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you. And it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. You shall not oppress a hard, poor, and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. That should be for a whole bunch of folks. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord, and it be a sin to you. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. You shall not pervert justice, do the stranger or the fatherless, not take a widow's garment as a pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. And therefore I command, do this thing: when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. Because understand, back in those days, remember when Naomi and Ruth came and Boaz left stuff that they didn't glean, that they left certain amounts of things in the field for Ruth to gather. Because they were widows, and widows would go and glean what's left in a field so that they could make bread, so that they would have food. And that's what it's about, to help others that are less fortunate than you. I thank God for my pastor. I'll say it. My pastor cares about the community. She makes sure that our food bank has good food in it. And, I mean, we feed hundreds every month because she will not allow it not to be open, even if she's out of town or she's on assignment somewhere else. God will make sure that that food pantry is open. And the story of the name, the Table of Love, comes from a wonderful young woman who had Down syndrome, was a member of our church. And every time she would tell her mom that she wanted to go to church because she wanted to go to the Table of Love. And so our pantry was named for her, for the Table of Love. So just thanking God, you know, for wonderful, wonderful people and a pastor that has compassion and love for others. So thanking God for that. You got to leave something for the widows and the orphans and those that are in need. Let us keep going for some life lessons. And for again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, life lessons come from Dr. Charles Stanley. This year we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, the year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version of the Word. So very excited about this Word this morning and thanking God for it and Dr. Stanley. And so the life lessons for chapter 23 is this. Deuteronomy verse chapter 23 verses 12 through 13. You shall have a place outside the camp. And when you sit down outside, cover your refuge. Long before humankind knew anything about the connection between personal hygiene and good health, God gave his people commands to keep them physically healthy. Obedience always brings blessings. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Even back in the days of the wanderers, God made sure that they understood hygiene. Because all through, he said, you need to wash your clothes and wash your body. Cover your refuge. That's God. And make sure it's outside your camp. Don't have your business inside the camp, outside the camp, and make sure you cover it up. Life lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. When a man is taking a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall bring happiness to his wife. God is most concerned about our holiness, but he is not unconcerned about our happiness. This verse demonstrates God wants us to be happy and holy. Happy and holy. God wants marriages to be happy and holy. Deuteronomy 24, verse chapter 24, verse 16. A person shall be put to death for his own sins. In other words, nobody can go to heaven or hell for you. Only you can do that. Your attitude will determine your altitude. We got to learn to speak the positives over our life and over each other. But mama can't go to hell for you, and mama can't go to heaven for you. Prayers will help you, but you got to do the work yourself. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, and he is right on point. Each of us is responsible to God for our own lives. We do not accrue the righteousness of our ancestors, nor must we pay for the sins of our forebears. God judges each person individually. I say it again. God judges each person individually. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 22. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. God often reminds Israel that they have been slaves in Egypt. Why? To foster compassion in them for the downtrodden. Likewise, he reminds that we were once estranged from him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We are to be a compassionate people. And we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 12, chapter 2, verse 12. I can hear those out there talking about, what you talking about? Ephesians don't have 12 chapters. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, too, and it says this in the word, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, and I'm going to read verse 13 as well, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And I want to read that, the whole thing in context. And it says this, brought near by his blood. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but what is called the circumcision made in flesh by hands, that at that time you were without aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And I thank God that we have been grafted in to become sons and daughters of God. Psalms chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as hand's breadth, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. There are folks that are just, all they think about, money, 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 and yet have no family, have no children, don't want any children, could care less about family because they living their best life. So you gathering and taking and stealing and getting in love with money, the root of all kinds of evil. And then when your day comes, you're out there wondering, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What you're doing is leaving all that money for somebody to fight over. Whether it's your corporation, in your corporation, or family members that come out of the woodwork. All of that hoarding and all of that for what? Nothing. But the main theme of this psalm lesson is, I call it keeping your tongue behind your teeth. That sometimes you need to just be quiet. Set still. Be still and know he is God and that he is handling all your problems today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after, until you leave this world. And then he will handle your problems in the next. Because this is what it says, Psalms 39 and 1, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. We should always watch carefully how we speak, but we must take special caution when in the presence of unbelievers. Let us never give them any reason to reject God because of ungodly things we say. And I say ungodly things that we do. We have to be very, very careful. This little membrane behind your teeth is powerful. Now, you in church Sunday, shouting, whooping, person come to church, the Holy Ghost falling out, speaking in tongues, prophesying, evangelizing, doing all the things of God, and then see you in the grocery store on Monday cussing out the clerk because they didn't have enough toilet paper. What do you think is going to happen? You just lost an unbeliever because of how you were acting on Monday. We got to take God with us wherever we go. We got to be kind. We got to be holy. We got to let folks see the light of God in us wherever we go. God loves us, and he loves us with a whole heart. All we got to do is love each other back. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful own violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. In other words, again, be faithful and keep your tongue behind your teeth. That's just what I'm saying. God wants us to listen. Talk less, listen more. Because the Lord will always have a word for you. But the word, I'm just going, it's a highlightable. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. Sometimes we can talk too much. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Think about this. Folks, always on social media, telling everything, anything, saying anything, everything. Always got opinion about everything, even if it's none of their business. But always got something to say about something or somebody. Understand. Sometimes, loose lips sink ships. That's it. Loose lips sink ships. We need to be quiet. You don't have to tell everything you know. Sometimes you just need to keep everything behind your teeth. God already knows all your situations. God already knows. He said, she said, God already knows it all. You don't need to go out running your mouth. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. And this is a word from Dr. Stanley, as he says it with me. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 13:3. Loose lips sink ships. There you go. Was a popular World War II motto. It reminded people to guard their words so that nothing they said would endanger American troops. Preventing casualties in a spiritual war takes the same kind of caution. I didn't know that came from World War II, so I just learned something. I just remember hearing it as a kid, loose lips sink ships. So now I know it came from World War II. And you just learned it with me. So thank you, Dr. Stanley, because I got a life lesson. You know, I hadn't read the life lessons. I just read my word, and so I did not see that. But so that's pretty awesome that I was thinking, and he had written, so God is good. But anyway, let's get moving. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 39. And this is a awesome word this morning. You know, Jesus is in doing his ministry. And we know that all through his ministry, he stopped and prayed. He healed the sick. He did his assignment. And he had a special assignment when he came into this world. which is us. We were his assignment, souls to be saved. That was the assignment. Us so blessed to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the word of God says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, always there to see if they can catch him in something, who had come out of every town of Galilee. I mean, they were coming. They were going to get this little blasphemer. Wrong. But this is what it says. Judea and Jerusalem. Come on now. I'm going to read that again. How many folks was coming to be nosy? And it says, there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. I love that line. Man, your sins are forgiven you. Because you got to have some serious faith to let somebody drop you down in the midst of a crowd, still in your bed. You have to have some kind of faith to say to have your friends say, we're taking you to Jesus. We know he can heal you. They had faith and he had faith. They all had serious mustard seed, mountain moving, harvest gathering faith that he would be healed. And Jesus saw it. He said, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. I said it slow. Man, your sins are forgiven you. Why? Because he had faith and his friend had faith that he would be healed, and he was. And then the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? See, they only came to start mess. What did the psalm say? He who guards his mouth preserves his life. That's what the Proverbs tell us. And then Psalms, what did it tell us? I said I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. Got to be quiet. And all they can say, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Jesus was so absolutely awesome. He was so cool because he did not get flustered. He just, let me show you something. And this is what he said. And he would just, in a second, tell somebody off. And they don't even know they've been told off. But listen to this. This is how he gets the Pharisees. But when Jesus received their thoughts, because he can read your thoughts, he knows everything about us, including the number of hairs on our head, just like his daddy, just like our daddy. He knows we were knitted in the womb of our mothers. And we are each a child of God. And this is what he said. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easy to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. You wanted to see strange things, and you saw strange things. But the one thing you saw was the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ at work. Because that man got up, and what did he do? He glorified God and was and they were filled with fear. God, he was having a happy dance. I would have danced from that room with my bed all the way home. I would have had a David moment. I'd be more undignified than this. You know, you got to tell some folks, get out of my way so I can dance. And let the Lord use you. Chapter 5, verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Can I say that again? Jesus, not Minister Bridget, but Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came for the sinner. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. He came for us, because each one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't know too many perfect humans to meet them, because I know I'm so far from perfect. But I love the Lord. And I know that he forgives me my sins. Chapter 5, verse 33 of the book of Luke. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friend of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Likewise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. That is the truth. That's why we used to have them little patches that would cover up the hole in your pants. And now folks are cutting out the hole in your pants to show off the knee, whereas we used to cover it up because we didn't want the knee showing. See, things change, and then they go back in a circle. So coming up, the knees will be covered again with patches, and that'll be the new style. So that's just how things work. What we think is old and what they think is old is new. So anyway, as we continue, it says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskin, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskin will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskin, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. And that is our word for this morning. I have a life example from Dr. Stanley. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about technology. And I love the fact he says technology is an amazing thing. Before the invention of the printing press in 1440, every manuscript was written by long hand, a long, painstaking process that would take an enormous amount of time. Still, even after mechanization was applied to the process, the first edition of the Gutenberg Bible took about 3 years to produce, from 1452 to circa 1455, and there were only 180 copies. Even so, it was a massive advancement. Understand, the Gutenberg Bible is one of the oldest Bibles ever created from Scripture. It's rare, can tell you, 180 copies. If someone in your family got one, it is worth a lot and lot of money. But I would never get rid of it, because all the money in the world to have a copy of one of the first Bibles ever put in print would be priceless. And as we continue, he talks about, you know, radio signals and Edison and all the creations that came, you know, to make Bibles, to do things. But it says this, it says, of course, the improvements would continue over the years. Almost 260 years later, the first year on the scene. And a century after that, in 1831, the first electric telegraph emerged. In 1876, Thomas Edison patented the mimeograph, which is the precursor to today's copy machines. The same year, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. So you think about all the things that have been invented since the creation to help us to be better. You know, at one point, the only time you could hear a word was in person with a minister in a pulpit. And now with technology, just like you're listening to my voice over a podcast, over the radio, over your computer, over your phone, over your iPad, you're hearing my voice. One day you'll be seeing my face. God has given me that information that I will eventually start doing a podcast, but it's not time yet. But when it is, you'll know. And so the thing is that God is preparing us to do what he needs us to do. You know, all these things, streaming, YouTube, Facebook Live, all those things are mediums that we as ministers get the word out, and people get the word out. If you're selling, if you're teaching, if you're preaching, if you have a book, all these things are now done over the wires, over the internet. You can go to Amazon and order today and have it delivered by Saturday. You can go to put in your order, go to the store, and it's ready. And all you have to do, drive in, open your trunk, and your items are put into your car. Or they're delivered. Even your medication can be delivered. All these things are advances that we have. And I love this is what Dr. Stanley says. Even so, we have to understand that as the world changes, the way it communicates, we must take every opportunity to reach people with the good news of salvation. We must change too. In order to do our job, in order to do our assignments, we must change how we get the word out. And it goes on to say, Jesus said, no one puts new wine into old wineskin, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskin, and both are preserved. What that means is that we can't just keep doing the same old thing. It's time to get out of our four walls, the word, into the communities that we minister, the communities that we live. It's time to go to work. And it says, I love the way Dr. Stanley says, we must do our best as new methods arise to communicate the gospel as to as many people as possible, as clearly as possible, as irresistibly as possible, as quickly as possible. all to God's glory, no matter what the technology. The content, my friend, is always the same. The gospel doesn't change. Just as wine will always be made with grapes, so the gospel will always be centered on the blood of Christ. The cross will always be our focus. That will never vary, even if the way we communicate it does. Wow. And that is our word this morning. I thank you for listening in. If there's a word that God has given you from this word this morning, you know, we got to have that mustard seed faith, family. That faith that gets us up, that faith that gets us moving, that faith that will tell us to stand up, take our bed, and go on. We got to do it. We got to do what God has told us to do. We got to walk in righteousness. When he saw their faith, letting a friend down through the roof, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." We have a word from Sister Carolyn, and then the lines will be open for those that would like to speak. And a word from Sister Carolyn this morning is this. Good morning. God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your faithfulness. Can y'all shout with me? Amen. Don't give up. Have a worry-free Wednesday. Again, Sister Carolyn and I do not talk. I let God give her a word just as God gives me a word. And our word today both coincide with being faithful. When he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And as Sister Carolyn said, God has a purpose for our pain. You think about it, you are paraplegic. You're paralyzed. You can't move. And he says, a reason for your struggle. I'm sure that man being paralyzed was because God knew, paralyzed, that he would be healed by his son as a miracle and a gift for your faithfulness. His friend said, we're going to take him because I believe that Jesus can heal him. They didn't give up when they got there and saw the crowd and couldn't get in. They didn't give up when they saw that they couldn't get through all these people. Instead, they said, we're going to pull him up to the roof. We're going to open a hole, and we're going to let him down in the middle right where Jesus is standing. And they did it. And their friend got up, took his bed, and walked. Evangelist, your line is open.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to say that I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. I'm walking and I'm talking with my mind on Jesus because I remember there was a time when I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was partially paralyzed from my waist down, and the doctors told me they couldn't do no more for me. The neurologist specialist told me he couldn't do no more for me, but I told him. I said, I know a great doctor, a great surgeon, and a great neurologist. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. And on today, I'm walking and I'm talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. God bless you. That's all I have on today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. That's a testimony. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." A woman, your sins are forgiven, and you are walking, talking miracle. Come on now. Hallelujah. We'll get one of these days, family, we are going to have Evangelist give a portion of her testimony because God has got a book in her heart and in mind, and I know one day that book is going to be written for her, and she's going to have that book out there. So we don't want to give everything away. But she's got a word and a testimony that God is going to have for the masses to read. I believe that. That, I do believe, is a word for her this morning. So thank you so much, Evangelist.
as we get ready to go, I'm going to have Evangelist Shannon pray a prayer warrior. I will say it, the woman can get a prayer through. This woman of God has a lot of faith. And we are faithful to receive a word from God. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. We are about to pray over you and yours. Minister Evangelist, could you please pray us out this morning?
Heavenly Father, we come unto you in the name of Jesus, knowing that Jesus is our mediator. He is our Lord and Savior. He is Christ Jesus. He is your beloved Son. And we thank you, Father God, that you loved us so much that you gave up your only Son for us, that we have life, life more abundantly. We have life in Christ, alive in Christ, walking in the will of God on this morning. We thank you for waking us up, and we thank you, Father God, for waking up your daughter of Zion to go forth this morning to speak the word unto the world, unto the globe, unto the nation, oh God, because we need your spiritual feeding. We need our spirit nourished by your word, because your word is life, and you are, hallelujah, the word of God. You are word and spirit. So we thank you, Father God, for the traveling grace up over Minister Bridget this morning, and many that is going forth, whether they're going to their job, whether they're going to the doctor, whether they're going to the hospital, whether they're going on errands or to the grocery store. But we hoping and praying that the fivefold ministry will step out the four walls, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and be who you have molded and shaped and called them to be, with a heart of love, the love of God, agape love, to call on the name of Jesus and be led by the Holy Spirit to witness unto your people, because souls need saved, delivered, healed, and set free, and turned from the wicked ways and the schemes of the heart and of the world, that we are of the world as we walk in the world, but those that have been chosen are not of the world. They are in the world. So, Father God, clean them up, Lord, even the backsliders, that they will go forth and they will submit unto you and serve your people. For as Jesus said, I come to serve, not to be served. So we thank you, Lord, for your word to nourish your people, to open up their ears, to give them direction, instructions, leadings, and guidance, and that their ways will be the ways of Christ. Their thoughts will be the thoughts of Christ, because your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways are the ways of righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. We're all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, in Jesus' name, because you have no particular person. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Family, as we ended up, we say together, it is a wrap. Because
it
we are always willing, ready, available, and presently praying to anyone, every one of you. It's a wrap. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you, Evangelist, for coming on this morning, and thank you for that mighty, awesome prayer. May God continue to watch over you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.